Let's make today the day you get one step closer to becoming the parent you've always wanted to be and the parent your children deserve. Hi, and welcome to Powerful Parenting for Today's Kids. I am your host, Erin Taylor, and I have wanted to help parents and children literally since I was 11 years old. I created this podcast to help you make a stronger, healthier, deeper connection to your child, to understand the inevitable challenges a little better, and learn some new ways to navigate them when they occur. Thank you for spending some time with me. Now let's get this show started. Hello and welcome to episode 565. Today I'm going to cover another topic that my listener asked me to cover, and this is a good one. How do you teach money management if you don't give chore money? That's a good one, isn't it? So if you give chore money to your kids, you can give them real cash. If you use cash, you can also use an app. There are several apps that have popped up that help you to give money to your kids so that they can learn how to manage it. So I would say you can use cash, and this is whether you give chore money or not, or you can use one of these new apps so that there's no passing of cash back and forth. But if you don't give chore money, how can you do it? Well, I have a couple of different ideas. Number one, I'm thinking chronologically. I remember an episode of The Cosby Show. Well, we won't talk about Bill Cosby's later disgrace, fall from grace as America's beloved dad. But back then, he was still America's most beloved dad. And he sat down with his son on the show. And his son thought he was going to move out and get an apartment and get a fancy car and all this stuff. And so he did this scene with his son where he used Monopoly money. And he gave his son, okay, let's say you have a job and you have this much money. And he handed his son so many bills. And then the bills were fanned out. I don't know if you saw this episode, but the bills were fanned out in his hand, in his son's hand. And he said, well, you're going to have to pay rent, right? So the boy was looking at his huge stack of money and he was just like, oh my gosh, this is so awesome. And then Bill Cosby said, well, you're going to have rent. And then he took like half of the chunk of fanned out bills and he just went and just ripped it right out of his son's hand. And his son looked at the money left in his hand in shock and horror, like, I just lost half my money. And then he said, well, and that really good sports, really cool sports car you want, that's going to cost you too. And he ripped out a couple more bills. And then, you know, the horror on his son's face. And then he said, what about food? What about electricity? And he kept taking the bills. And I think he got down to like one $5 bill or something left in his hand. And the kid was horrified at how his big chunk of money just dwindled down to nearly anything. And he was kind of like, how am I supposed to live on this? I can't do anything with this money. And he said, ah, that's the problem. And I think the episode was more a thing of maybe he didn't want to go to school anymore and he was going to drop out and get a job. And his dad was trying to help him to understand why dropping out of high school was not a good plan and was not going to get you very far in life. And so I always remembered that scene. So I think that doing a little Monopoly exercise would probably be a really helpful Monopoly money exercise would be a really helpful experiment to do with your kids so they can truly see how expensive things are and how much money it really does take to live. And how do you figure out, you know, how do you pay your rent and your bills and have spending money left over? What if you spend too much, but you can't pay your rent? You know, that's an interesting experiment to do to really teach them viscerally. So that's one thing you can do if you don't give your kids chore money. I also read an article once about a parent or parents who gave their kids big chore money when they were teenagers. And I think they might have also had a job, or maybe this was before they had the job, but they gave them big chore money for doing what they were supposed to do around the house. But I'm not talking about $5 or $10 a week. I'm talking about several hundred dollars per month. But they gave them this money for helping out around the house and doing what contributing their part to the functioning of the household and the family. But they were also, so they got an extremely high amount of money for that. But then they were also responsible for buying themselves clothes when they wanted new outfits or when they outgrew their clothes, paying for dental visits and doctor visits and when they could drive car insurance and sharing their cost of their car payment and car repairs. So they allowed their kids to be responsible for the bills that very much were theirs, generated by them. And they gave them a significant amount of money to help them do it. Not so much that it was easy, they could just start throwing money around, but they gave them enough money that they had to learn how to budget their spending money so that they could still have money left to pay all these other things. And that's kind of like the Monopoly idea from the Cosby Show, the Monopoly money idea, but this is a real money situation that they put their kids into. And I think that's also helpful. Another interesting thing that we did with our kids this year, my 15-year-old daughter got her first summer job this past summer, 2020, and she was a lifeguard. And she was planning to work part-time, 20 hours a week or so, but immediately it turned into a full-time job. So she worked 36 to 40 hours a week. And she was a little bit shell-shocked about it. And that's a lot of hours for a 15-year-old to work. She was a little shell-shocked about it. And she had to really kind of adjust to the idea of 6 and 8 hour days, 5 days a week. 6, 7, 8 hour days. She was really happy when it was raining and she could close the pool and go home early. She didn't get paid on those days. She had to figure out how to schedule in time to see her friends because she was working so much. So this was a real experience of being an older person for her. It was a real growth experience. But she earned a significant amount of money, several thousand dollars working that last summer. And so we had it set up where the money was automatically deposited into her bank account. And then we got her a debit card so that when she wanted to have spending money, we would just transfer the money onto the debit card and she would have it. So she could keep that in her wallet, but the vast majority of her money stayed in the bank. And then we started talking to her about maybe investing some of her money. And so at the end of the summer, she decided to take, I think it was around not quite $400. Maybe it was a little over $400. She decided to buy 4 shares of Apple stock because we're huge Apple users in this house between our Macs and our iPads and our phones and whatever else, AirPods. And so she thought that was a good company to invest in. My husband, being a financial advisor, agreed with her. And so she proudly purchased 4 shares of Apple stock. And periodically she will ask her dad what Apple closed at that day. And she'll say, oh, she'll do the math and she'll say, I'm up $16. Oh no, I'm down 10. And we've talked to her about how investing in this way for her is a long game. She doesn't have to be overly focused on it every day or get upset if it's up or down. This is a long-term investment for her. And so it can kind of just sit there and do what it's going to do. Periodically, she checks it and that's that. Well, because, and she's the first of our kids who have purchased stock. And I had the idea this Christmas that as a Christmas gift, we would buy each of them one share of Apple stock. So now my daughter has 5 shares of Apple, and my sons each have 1 share of Apple. And we had to open up accounts in their name through my husband's business and all that kind of stuff. And we've talked to my son, our 18-year-old, about this concept often. Not often, but several times. And we've never acted upon him moving forward with it, and he's never asked to move forward with it. And recently, he got this week, actually, well, when I'm recording it, it's this week. But by the time you hear this episode, he probably will have been doing this for 2 or 3 weeks. He got a job delivering food for DoorDash, and he's absolutely loving it. And he, as of this recording, he hasn't yet gotten his first paycheck or payment or whatever you call it. So he told me that he was thinking that when he gets paid each week, he's going to put a certain portion into his checking account for spending on whatever he wants and while he's at school and all that stuff. He's going to put a certain portion into his savings account to build that up and to cover the cost of taxes, the tax implication from this job, because DoorDash doesn't take taxes out. They just, I guess he'll be considered like a 1099 employee, or not employee, but 1099 contractor, and he'll have to do his own taxes and pay the tax at the end of the year. So he wants to put a chunk of his payments into his savings account to cover that, so he'll have the money when tax time comes. And then he wants to take a smaller portion and put it into his investment account with my husband. And I said, that is a fabulous idea. I love that you've come to that idea. I love it. I think it's wonderful. And so I think what he's currently thinking is 40% in his checking account, 40% in his savings account, and 20% in his investment account. And I let him know that, you know, let's say he gets paid $100. He puts 40 in his checking account, 40 in his savings account, 20 in his investment account. If there's nothing he wants to, no stock or anything he wants to buy that he can afford with $20, he can just let that $20 sit in his investment account until he gets paid again, because he can leave cash in that account. I didn't know if he realized that. So let's say the thing he wants to buy is going to cost $100. He can just keep putting his 20% of his payment money into that account until he gets $100 saved up, and then he can purchase the thing that he's looking to purchase, the fund or the stock or whatever it is. And he also told me he read something, and I remember reading them when I was young too. And the thing he read said something about if you put $5 a week, if you invest $5 a week starting when you're 20, then you'll have $1 million by the time you're whatever, 65. I don't know what it was. But my husband, I talked to him about it, and he said the formula that he knows about is if you put, I think, $5 a week in when you're 18 until you're whatever, 25, 30, I don't know. And then you, or 35, and then you never invest again, never put another dollar in, you'll have $1 million when you're 65. Now, don't quote me on those numbers, because I don't know if they're entirely accurate. And I don't know if the thing my son read said, you know, put $5 a week away when you're 20 for the rest of your life, or just a period of time, or whatever. But if it's inspired him to start investing his own money in the market at age 18, then that's setting him up for a lifelong, really healthy habit to develop as an 18-year-old that will hopefully take him forward in life. So getting back to the topic, how do you teach money management if you don't give chore money? I think there are a lot of different ways, but I think it's really important that you find a way and you teach your children. You also model it to them. There are times in our lives when we haven't made, my husband and I haven't made really good money decisions, or decisions we made didn't pan out well. And you know, we had to kind of repair the damage from it. We bought an investment property that we were stuck with for about, I don't know, 8 or 10 years that never went up in value, and we sold it. It was on the market for about 4 years, and we ended up selling it for the exact price that we bought it for. And so technically we got our money back, but it didn't include all the money we had to put in for maintenance and upkeep and repairs. We had to put a new roof on for $10,000. It ended up being a really bad investment idea that cost us a lot of money. But, you know, that's just something that happened. And so I think doing the best you can to model good money management is good, and then giving them experience to do it themselves, either with fake Monopoly money or with chore money, a little bit of chore money, or with a big chunk of chore money, like that story I told you about where they then had to pay for their gas and their health costs and their insurance and their new clothing and all of their expenses. Or if you get them invested in the market, teach them about credit cards. Teach them about how when you spend money on a credit card, you're using money you haven't made yet to buy something today. And if you don't pay that money back to the credit card company at the end of the month, you'll be charged interest. So now you'll be charged money on something. You know, maybe if you went out to eat a meal, you're paying for today's meal with tomorrow's dollars. And if you get charged interest on it because you don't pay it off at the end of the month, next month you'll be charged money on a meal that you ate long ago that's already gone. So that's an important concept for kids to understand. And one of the very few things I wish my parents would have done better. My parents were amazing, awesome people, and I loved them both dearly. But one of the things I wish they would have done a better job teaching me is money management. I had to fumble my way through and make mistakes, a lot of mistakes, and learn from those mistakes. And so we're trying to do a better job with our kids and teach them good, strong money management skills as young people, as kids, before they have the adult responsibility of having money and being good stewards of that money. So, you know, I think if you just keep a global idea and eye on that important job that you have as a parent to teach your children good, healthy money management, not money management, just a relationship with money. Just have a healthy relationship with money. Money is the root of all evil. That's not a helpful belief to have. But money buys happiness. That's not either a healthy mindset to have. Seeing money as a tool that allows you to do more in the world, do more of what you like, bring more value to the world. Seeing money as an important part of life, but not the thing to idolize and worship. And all of those kinds of concepts are really important to teach to your kids, but it's going to be hard to teach it to your kids if you haven't wrapped your head around it first. So the way that you actually teach your kids to have a good relationship, a healthy relationship with money, and have good money management skills is to practice it yourself first. So I don't know where you are on that continuum, but wherever you identify yourself, that's where you have to begin. And then hopefully the ultimate goal at the end of it is that you and your children both all have a good, healthy relationship with money. Okay, so that wraps up today's episode. Wherever you are in this world, I hope that your day is filled with wealth. And I don't necessarily mean money. I just mean the abundance of all that is good. All right, see you next time. That wraps up this episode of Powerful Parenting for Today's Kids. If you know anyone who could benefit from this episode or this podcast in general, please share it with them. Also, I always love hearing feedback from my listeners. I welcome you to send me an email to erin@erin-taylor.com if you have any comments or questions that come up for you in an episode. Our children are our future. Parenting them is the most sacred task we will ever be asked to do. It truly does take a village to raise a child. Let's help each other to raise our children to be who it is they are meant to be. If at any point you feel like you need a little extra help and support, reach out to me. I am here to help you.